Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We hope you're having a great holiday. I have a great show for you tonight, long overdue. My very dear friend and amazing guitar player, Ben Woods, is with us today. He's always on the road, so it's really hard to get him because he's playing all the time. But it's great to have you.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
And we're going to talk today about his signature guitars. He actually had some guitars built. JP's holding one of them. My other guests that are hanging with me tonight are my other very dear friends. I've known them since a month of Sundays. JP Duran and Lisa Carbe from Incendio, and Carbe and Duran and... you name it, they've been it. So anyway, let's start out really quick talking about these guitars. We're going to talk about first. There's two sets of guitars made. One is by Ortega Guitars, which is what he has in his hand right now. And then we're going to take a look at these Nilocasters, which are really cool. So anyway, let's just talk a little bit. How did you get to the point where you needed to design a guitar? Because if I'm correct, that you weren't getting what you wanted out of what you were playing, right?
Half correct.
Okay.
Thanks. What happened was, first I went on tour in Europe with this great guitarist named Thomas Fison, and he was playing Ortega guitars. I tried it out, and it was just amazing. So he put me in touch with the guys there at Ortega, and we hit it off, and we had a great relationship, and I actually was... given a guitar to play on that first tour, which was, I think, in 2012 or 13. And I was very fortunate to go out with them. And I loved it. And soon, a few years later, we talked about having my own signature guitar with a slightly different design from the ones they have. Mm-hmm. They have dozens and dozens of great Spanish guitars and cool designs. But, you know, of course, I wanted to put my own stamp on it, a little bit something for me. So this one is the Ben Woods signature model. It's called the BWSM, and it's the very first one. So I actually got to go to Valencia and meet with the makers at the shop and sit around a table and exchange ideas to design this. And it's not actually all that different from your standard modern Spanish guitar with cutaway and electronics. There's just a few slight differences, which is I picked the tone woods, which is a cedar top and a rosewood back and sides, and what else? I wanted to make it thinner, the body depth much thinner, so it's 80 millimeters deep here at the 12th fret and 85 back here. And really, other than that, I've got a great Fishman Ortega Classica preamp system in it, which is a dual source preamp, so it has the microphone inside, as well as the piezo pickup, and you can blend those together. It's also got an onboard tuner, a three-band EQ, and a couple other things in there, so it makes it really nice. Other than that, it's a pretty standard, you know, modern.
Now, when you record, do you use this use it electrically, or do you use it acoustically? Because making the narrower body, the shallower body, does that affect the depth and the richness of them?
You know, it probably should, but it's not as thin as a thin line, as those thin lines are. So it's a little thicker than that. It's just a little bit thinner than your average flamenco guitar. However, since it has a rosewood back and sides and cedar top, it's really a negra. It's a flamenco negra. So, mm-hmm. And the shop in Valencia, they know how to build flamenco guitars. So it was just a perfect marriage of everything I wanted for this one. And what was the question again?
No, are you getting plenty of bottom end on the guitar? Now, I know in flamenco it's pretty bright.
It is.
But if you're playing, like, you know, a more classical tone piece.
Actually it does, because it has that negra quality to the tone, but it being a little bit thinner. What I've noticed is that if you use a light touch, you can have a very classical sound. But if you dig in a little bit, you get a little bit more of the flamenco bite. So it's kind of got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Got lucky.
It cuts through really well. Now, they mentioned something in the, I went on to the Ortega site, which is OrtegaGuitars.com for you out there to take a look. And they mentioned this 12-hole bridge. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Aha.
That's down here where you tie the strings. There's actually two holes per string.
Okay.
And you can see that string goes in one hole, comes around, and goes the other. And so it's a little bit different from your average way of tying with this, which is more of like tying a fishing lure. I always compared it to. What it does is it makes the break angle here more sharp up to the saddle. And that way the string pushes down on the saddle and theoretically gets a louder attack.
More bark.
So you don't wrap it like a traditional.
No, because when you do wrap it, some of the knots actually pull up here behind the saddle, and it makes the brake angle less, so that's less pressure going down on the saddle, which is, of course, what's transmitting all the vibrations to everything. So that's the concept behind the 12.
Do me a favor and flip it. I want to see the back. Take a picture of the back. This wood is just beautiful.
That's rosewood for you.
Yeah, no, that is a beautiful mahogany neck, ebony board, if I'm correct.
That's right.
I looked it up.
You're correct.
And and that's actually red western cedar top.
You know, for the kids playing at home, something I just saw, which reminded me that. Take a look at that neck joint. Turn that bad boy around again. Look at that. That is a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it's cut away so you have more access.
Absolutely, but done in a very graceful way.
And the marquetry around the guitar is beautiful. Just the craftsmanship, it's really nice.
They did a fantastic job. I was very, very lucky to get this going. So, it's not because it's better than the guitars. Well, of course it's better. It has my name on the back, of course. So that in itself makes it better, right? But the guitars I was playing before were fine, but now I get to put a little bit more of what I need for playing live, and this is exactly what I needed. So
now, when you tour, what do you take usually? Just that, or do you take several guitars? What do you?
It depends. Usually, I only like to take one. To tell you the truth, I'm kind of a minimalist, and I don't like to take much.
This is true.
I don't even have a big suitcase, even if I'm going for a month at a time. I just have a backpack sized thing.
It's so much better to travel with less.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't
it? Yet he's still so hygiene conscious, and that's what makes it just nicer to travel.
I do try.
Yes.
I try.
Now, let's take that one. is limited, though. You said they might come back because there was an embargo on the Rosewood, right?
That's correct.
So the other one is the
BWSM-2. So, and the only reason that they made this is because of that. Now, it's pretty much almost exactly the same, except for we have a walnut back in sides. And walnut is a great tone wood. It's not quite as deep or rich as rosewood, but almost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as bright as cypress. So what we did is we made it actually just a few millimeters thicker body depth.
To compensate. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Just to get the nice tone. Everything else is the same except one really cool feature, which is it has an XLR output as well as a quarter inch.
Oh, very cool.
And I don't know if I've ever seen a guitar that had that. And so when I was on tour in Mexico earlier this year, I played a couple shows with normally, and I think, what the hell? Let me try the XLR. Wow, what a difference, man. It's just, I don't know. You have this field of sound, but with the XLR, it just widened. So you had lower lows and higher highs and just a...
Well, is there a preamp in there for that? Is that active?
Yeah, these pickup preamps.
Oh, that are on both of them are active? Both outputs?
Yeah. What's really cool, here, I'll see if you guys can see this. You take it up, and here's the battery right
here.
Oh,
that's easy access.
And right above here, this is actually the microphone, this little circle right here.
Oh, wow.
So that's the microphone.
Oh, wow.
In these. So the sound gets captured by that, and it also gets captured by the piezo ribbon underneath it.
Now, can you run both outputs at the same time, or is it either or?
I have not tried that, but I'm pretty sure it's either or.
Okay.
And it's a real nice tone, this one. It's a slightly different, but pretty much the same thing. It's a Spanish guitar, you know?
It's got
too.
A nice. It's really nice. It's got a little depth to it. I think the deeper body did make compensate well.
It does. You know what? This is it. Both of these guitars are the perfect sort of axe for me to take because they just do what I want. Like right now, I'm tuning up a little bit with the built-in tuner. And if you have one of these, you'll never be able to live without it because it has an instant bypass so the audience can't hear you tune. And now they could hear you. So it's I just can't live without them anymore.
Now, do you take the rosewood or the walnut now when you tour?
The last tour, I took this walnut. And but I've taken that one before, too. It all depends.
I mean, it's... It's so beautiful. And it's so rare.
They're real nice. They're both real nice. It kind of all depends on what I've been playing and how I'm feeling. Or honestly, I will pretty much play anything. Any one of mine anyways. Because I get used to it within the first 5 seconds. I'm like, oh yeah, that feels
it does this.
Yeah, yeah. And these, they feel and play exactly the same. So it doesn't really matter which one I take.
So the necks are pretty consistent between the...
They're exactly the same. This one is also made in the same shop in Valencia.
Now, is that a rounded neck or is it a more block neck like a Ramirez?
It's absolutely flat.
No, I mean in the back.
In the
feel in the back?
Or is it
a little... Is this a little slimmer like a electric?
It's definitely slimmer than a Ramirez. Ramirez's are
blocks.
Yeah,
they have that kind of block.
Yeah.
It's thin this way, and it's a wider.
It's 52.
There's differences in you got to look at the specs. Some of them are a little wider than others. But this neck is nice.
It's the regular 2-inch, or is it a little shorter than?
It's 52 millimeters. 52. They're 2 inches.
Yeah. So it's got a smoothness right here. It's got like, it curves here, and it's flat right in here. It's really a nice feel. It feels a lot like some of the basses, actually. But it's really nice. And this is a thick piece of ebony. So this is a real nice ebony. Now, is this adjustable? Is this...
Well, that gets exactly
this
what...
This has a truss rod as well. Yeah. They both have
so
truss. Oh, it's up there. Okay.
People who are part of your audience, some are pure electric players that are not going to know this, so kind of going over the tradition of Spanish guitars, whether they be classical or flamenco, is not a truss rod situation. just really like the first Tele, like the first electrics as well. So manufacturers have gone to putting in truss rods. There are truss rods in here. And when you're going to travel like Ben does, like we do, like any of a number of accident, being able to adjust is absolutely essential.
Well, yeah, if you have
if you're carrying a $15,000 or $30,000 guitar like the top people are, you know, you'll have your chaperone and they'll keep it in a little, you know, a bubble there and we'll keep it at the right temperature. But for the people like us who all live in the real world and are going to run into places where if you play Washington, D.C. in the middle of the summer, mm-hmm. and you're basically, it's like jumping into a pool of warm, stagnant air. Love Washington, D.C., but oh my God, you guys live in a swamp, and I did not know that. There's no response from the guitar, and the neck just, the whole thing goes to hell. So being able to have some adjustment over that for as a practicality for the working musician is amazing and is really,
yeah,
so
no,
important. Yeah, oh my God. So I saw that these were in there, and that's like kind of an unsung thing. That when you, if you,
no, I'm seeing it now in newer classical,
right?
Guitars.
But for a lot of like electric guys that are crossing over into world music and are going to get this and travel regularly, and you get a Strat and you can kind of beat it up and it reacts, you know, somewhat. But man, if you're going to go with something like this, because the other part was price, because these are really, really affordable, comparable to what you would be paying for, you know, a even a middle range. Actual Spanish guitar from a known builder. Those can be crazy expensive, but now with the technology,
well,
they're care of the
20,000 now for a good classical.
Oh, but and even like a flamenco, you're looking at $5,000 to $10,000 without blinking. You know, just to get one that's decent. Companies have helped to make that come down a little bit. A variety of companies,
yeah.
But Ortega and you seem to have nailed it.
Now, really, I'm just nice curious, because a lot of the early, I know like the Ramirez's used to put a slab of a rod of ebony as their truss rod. They actually did put something in there to enforce it. Your Maldonado, does that have a truss rod or is it?
No.
So it's like at the mercy of whatever.
The only one we have with a truss rod, I think, is the Kenny Hill.
The New Worlds,
yeah.
That
we just got.
And for the same reason, Great guitar.
Now, let me ask you this, too, with the walnut. Because you've toured Europe a lot. You've toured a lot of different places where a lot of different temperatures, humidities, whatever. What holds up better, the rosewood or the walnut in terms of it? What's more robust, or is there any difference?
You know, I got to be honest with you and with you guys. I don't look at all these fine-tuned things, kind of. I just kind of pick up a guitar and start playing and just try and get it in tune.
And just go for it.
And that's pretty much what I do. And then I just blast away. And I sort of don't worry about all the little things.
So you don't have a problem of them going out of tune after every song or just like going nuts? I know I've had that happen with my electric guitars where literally within the song it started going from the temperature.
Luckily, that hasn't happened too much. I mean, with these nylon strings, they are temperamental a little bit. Sometimes they can go... If you're bending a lot on one or whatever, mm-hmm. they can go out a little bit. But I always try and check it real quick before I play the next song. Real quick. Maybe I'll be telling a stupid dad joke as I do it. Just, you know, just to make sure that they'll never have me back. And then and then I go and I play. Here's the thing. I do the quickest sound checks in the world. Quicker than everybody, because I just plug it in, get it tuned up, get it to where it sounds nice to me, which is usually takes about 30 seconds, and then I ask the sound guy if it sounds like a guitar, and he says yeah, and then I said, all right, who's next?
You've had a lot of our friends in here, and certainly people who are picky. I don't think despite the great care that he's showing in terms of what he wants and needs, I don't think I've ever met a guitar player who is less concerned. If it's reasonably decent and within a certain tolerance, we've heard him make all sorts of guitars sound amazing. So it's a very interesting combination of like super care to get what he wants.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you would hand him something that looks like it's,
He's one of those guys who can give him
a 40 years.
You can give him a piece of plywood with strings in it.
There is that, yeah, and he would get something out of it. So.
But I remember I was I had the pleasure and the privilege to come down and see the guitar summit that you guys did over by Venice Beach, and there was like 12 or 13 of you guys,
yeah.
All monster players. Ben was there, and I remember, yeah, you came up. Okay, next.
I had a headless, silent guitar that didn't have a body at all.
I think you only took a little extra time to do that. That little board that you use, the bass drum you tap on.
Oh, yeah. I have a little
I think you put a took a second to put your hand through the guitar just to show everyone and rub it in everybody's face. So thank you for that.
No problem. See, you guys thought I was coming in with it like a pool cue over my shoulder, but then it folded out. And
the Minnesota Fats of flamenco guitar has arrived. Clear the table and be amazed.
It makes it so much easier to fly that way, right?
Yeah. Oh, it fits right under the seat.
Wow. That's amazing. But it was that's true. He did. It was like not that long, less than a minute or two, and he was all set up. That is amazing. Now let's look at some of the. There's another one.
Yeah.
There's two other ones.
Actually, there is. I should start with that one.
Okay, start with that one.
That one, this one is called they call it the Flametal one. Flametal is a band that I started in 2005. Here's the back of it right there. And some people say it was a genre. Mm-hmm. It's just flamenco metal, you know, something I've always wanted to hear, and I never heard it, so I had to make it. But so we called this one the Flametal one, I believe is what they named it. And boy, does this have a lot of advances. I mean, I'm going to try and run through it real quick. But basically, these are not made in Valencia, Spain. We would have had them made, but the builders over there are more traditional. They're into doing some wild stuff, some modern stuff, but not this wild. So we have these made in China. And wild, I mean, let's start with we have the reversed electrics guitar style headstock, which I've not seen on a nylon string guitar before. And why reversed? Why not? You know?
For you Hendrix, well, that's the thing. Yeah, Firebird people.
I've seen six on a line, but never reversed. So he like took it another step.
Yeah, why not? So what else? It's a still has the same cedar top with walnut back and sides.
Is that a mahogany neck?
It is.
Because it looks like the color's almost the same as the walnut. It looks, yeah. And then what's the fretboard?
The fretboard.
Wait a minute.
I don't know, man.
Palfaro?
Yeah, that's what it is. Palfaro.
That's what it is. Well, okay. Let's see what else. For this cutaway, I chose the sharp Florentine cutaway as opposed to the softer Venetian one. I really like the way the neck comes down and does that Spanish heel like that. This is actually a thin line. It's much thinner than the ones that were made in Spain. So how thin is that? I don't know. What is it, 65 millimeter? I don't know. I don't know the specs.
Let me look. 75.
Okay, so what else is cool about it?
That beveled, man, that's so nice. This is a...
You call it a forearm
cut. It's reflecting.
Cut.
I'm trying to get a good shot.
You can
shot.
Call it a forearm cut, a forearm relief, whatever. But it's, you know, it's what Stratocasters have.
This,
and so we decided to put that on
an
this.
Inner elbow trench.
Come on. Focus. Oops, there we go. Got
and
it.
I'll tell you why I needed it so bad. I mean, I needed it because I realized that when I'm playing it with my flamenco style, usually the edge of the guitar is resting right here.
Right.
Right on my tendons, all the tendons I use to play. And then I've got this 90-degree thing, like, cutting into me, so this one doesn't cut in anymore. And it's just... And this is another thing. Like, once you try one of these, you can't go back to a regular one. It's just... This is just too nice. So that's new. Also, it has the XLR
output
as well. And probably the thing... It also has the same... preamp system, dual source preamp system with mic and piezo blending.
But turn that around, so let me take a picture of this thing here.
Yeah.
So you can see this.
There's a lot of things to say about this, and I'm probably going to miss a bunch, but we just threw the kitchen sink at it. What you'll probably notice the most is that it doesn't have a sound hole. It's a It's a complete soundboard all the way through. And a lot of these guys, the makers and the people at Ortega, they said, are you sure you don't want to, can we put some holes in it anywhere? How is it going to sound? There's not going to be any sound coming out. Well, first of all, you might know a lot of these Spanish guitar makers are starting to use the little holes right here. They call them bocas. Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at where the preamp system is and you open this up, this is a huge boca right here. This is a hole. So all the sound is kind of getting forced out of this hole because there are, you know, obviously there's slots and there's air. This is how the air gets pushed out. So right to my ears. Also, this is where the microphone is. So all the vibrations are kind of getting forced right into where the microphone is. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Also, if you think about the soundboard, this is what gives a guitar its sound. It's what vibrates.
It's vibrating.
Just like a drum head.
Yeah.
Well, so when you microphone a drum, you don't put the mic in the sound hole underneath. You put it right by the drum head. Well, that's what this is. So if I were to play this one up by this microphone, completely acoustic, I mean, you can hear it. You can hear it just fine. It's not a silent guitar.
No. It's hard to hear out there, but it actually cuts really well acoustically without the mics. I mean, it really projects. But I've seen that with other guitars, like the Boulder Creek, where they have the whole sound hole solid, and then they have holes, ports.
Sure, they have ports. Another nice thing about not having ports is that you have much less chance of feedback on a big stage with loud monitors coming, staring right in your face, blowing the air right up there. I mean, if I stood right in front of a Marshall turned on all the way, yeah, it would probably feed back. But for what we do with world music and stuff, it pretty much eliminates feedback. I just got some photos of one of the Ortega endorsees that play this. His name is Yone Yarvella from this huge folk metal band called Korpiklaani. They're a Finnish folk metal band. And he's playing this in their big concerts. They're playing huge theaters. So it seems to work on a big stage with loud rock and metal even. So that's another reason.
That's so cool, man. To not have feedback is just, it makes things so much easier
I'm
for
saying
all of us.
It will feed back if you push it. I've experienced it, but it's much less than something that has a sound hole.
Sure.
So and another thing you'll notice is the laser engraved artwork that's right here. What it is, it's an eagle and a snake, and it's just a little illustration that I drew. I was talking to the guy, and they said, "Hey, we're about ready to run these." And I said, "I've got a strange idea. Can we put some artwork on there? I've seen you laser engrave, you know, palm trees on your ukuleles. Could we do that?" And they said, "Okay, yeah, but we need it by 3 o'clock or whatever it was." So I got out the pencil and pen and started drawing that day and sent it in. So I was just lucky that it came together.
It's gorgeous.
It's a lot of fun.
No, that's great. That's great. Now the neck, is it the same shape as the other Ortegas or is it different?
Actually, it's the same shape neck, but the nut is a little bit thinner. It's a 47 millimeter nut, and that's more because for me, I don't need the thick necks like all the classical players think that they need. I really think that we can play on thinner nut necks. You just have to give yourself a little time to get used to it. But I think that anybody can play it. Also, this is more designed for the crossover guitars that might be used.
Right, so it has
electric guitar.
Yeah.
So this is like the perfect combination between electric guitar and acoustic Spanish guitar. And it looks a little bit more rock and roll, because one thing I noticed about all Spanish guitars, including mine that are made in Spain, is that the average person wouldn't be able to tell one apart from the other. They pretty much have all the exact same shape. They look like wood. They look like a guitar. It's just looks like a guitar. Whereas if you looked at a Firebird and a Stratocaster, those look different. And anybody can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Even a Telecaster and a Strat, everybody can see that. Wow, those are totally different. But if you look at two different Spanish guitars, the average person is like, "Whoa, I don't get it. One is kind of red and one is kind of orange. Big deal.
Yeah.
You don't know.
So this one is way different looking from that. So I wanted to set it apart that way.
Yeah. It's a and again, all these guitars are performance oriented. So it's a road guitar.
It's a really important point.
A working guitar. It's dependable, it's sturdy, it's consistent. Unfortunately, we have to look at things like theft and getting another one. It'll be the same. It's consistent. You can pretty much, there's minor differences, very minor differences just with the woods. But as far as the feel of the guitars, that's important. That's probably why people are so paranoid taking their old Gibsons and Fenders out, because they're hard to duplicate that feel. So
you got a good point.
Let's take a look at this other one. This is the other Flametta.
Yeah. This one is exactly the same. As you can see, it has a sound hole. Other than that, everything else is absolutely exactly the same.
Now, do you hear a difference in the sound with the sound hole?
Yeah, that's... I played a little bit on that, okay. And I'll play the same thing on this. It's quite a bit louder because it's coming right out of the sound hole.
Yeah, it's coming right to the mic.
Yeah, yeah, but...
Same thing, the dual output?
It's exactly the same.
Everything's the same.
Mm-hmm. I'm already denting these in. You know, these come with the gold pedals, the little plastic guards. I just haven't put them on, so I'm starting...
And this is, again, the cedar top, walnut back and sides, mahogany... Nick. And the Palo Ferro.
That's right.
Now, is Palo Ferro like a rosewood? Is it supposed to be similar to rosewood?
You would know.
Not really.
I thought you grew this in your backyard at home. No, I'm just kidding.
That's not what I grow. Medicinals. Love Dirty Minds.
But no, it sounds great. The tone. And then just do me a favor. Go up the neck and just... Legato, play legato. I want to hear the sustain and the consistency, because these guitars are well balanced, and that's something you got to look at. There's no dead notes.
Boy, legato.
No, just play a note and milk it. I mean, I'm not hearing any dead spot. He slides. He's not. He'll slide, but there's no dead spots, which is good.
I got a little out of tune. I haven't tuned it up, and I haven't played it in a few weeks, so strings don't like me right now. That's it. Yeah.
That's a beautiful guitar. Well, so there's two of them, the Flametta 1 and Flametta 2. That's the two.
Yep. The only difference is one has a sound hole and one does not.
And these are at go ahead to OrtegaGuitars.com. You can check these out.
Can I put you on the spot for a minute?
Of course.
Let's plug this in.
Your system. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, JP brought his HX Stomp system, which he uses for Incendio.
Now, this would be more like what I'm used to for Incendio. And I noticed when he was setting up, he also went for more a bass. And then I wanted to hear like the mic and the piezo, the blend and stuff like that.
Blend it then. Here we go. That's in there.
A lot of reverb on it. Yeah.
The slider and go to the microphone and then go to the piezo.
Was that like half and half there?
Yep, this is half and half mic and piezo. Yep. Now I'm just going to turn on the tuner and there's an instant bypass. Here's the mic.
ahead. Go back to the electric.
On the electric, to go to the electric and to go to the piezo to hear the tube.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go all the way
back on electric. We're going to go. This is just piezo. So.
The mid richer, but the piezo has the real good lows and real good highs.
That's exactly right. It's definitely got the beef.
Mm-hmm. And that is dedicated and blended at there. You don't split it. You can't split it out, right?
No, I can't split it out with this one. It's just one.
I think the only one that actually does that is the Carlos Juan.
Well, you know, there
because Jim had the two outputs.
There are a lot of systems I think that are beginning to incorporate this stuff. The nice thing about having it on board is you can control right there, and if you're experiencing feedback on stage, you can just click.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's done, as opposed to, you know, having to do stuff, you know, down there. It can be a time saver, you know, and that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
I don't mind being able to isolate because you can. Graphically,
there's certainly advantages to that, but when you think once again about the price point of these cars and the playability, it's pretty awesome. That sounds great. That is the standard like JP Incendio.
This is the JP pedal board.
I use a little less reverb than Jim, but we both are pretty saturated to get it over the drums and the bass, so it has to have that body where it lives there. And this is really reacting nicely to it.
Yeah, your reverb has a good decay, so it doesn't get in the way.
It's a double reverb, line 6. I love you guys. Please make a fuller reverb for next year. I'm going to visit you and make it happen. I'm using Ganymede and Glitz for anybody that's out there for that, and that's how we're doing it now, so... In a year, it may not be that.
All right, we're almost out of time, so I want to get to the next thing.
That was quick.
And that is the Nyla caster.
Oh.
So let's talk about this.
Well, first off, I mean, why the hell does anybody need 4 signature guitars? I don't know, but I am so happy and fortunate. I'm very excited about these. So anything that's made a Spanish guitar, acoustic guitar, I think those are cool. But the Nyla casters. This is my baby, and I've been working on this for a couple of years. I discovered a way that I could string up a Stratocaster with nylon strings, and obviously I took out the magnetic pickups, and I prototyped for a long time until I finally found the perfect combination of components. And now finally, I have these available, and they're for sale at nylocaster.com. But even if nobody buys them, I don't care because I'm going to keep making them, and I play them at almost all of my gigs because I just have a great
now time playing them. You're plugged in your amp.
Now I'm going through my amp, which is a Fishman Loudbox Mini. And this is a Stratocaster. This one is a hardtail.
Okay.
It doesn't have the trem block, but I absolutely love playing
this. Now, when you buy the Strats, are you buying, is that Alder or Ash, or is there any preference, or it doesn't matter?
This one is basswood, and I like it because it's light, but not as light as Sycamore or something like that. It's just the right amount of lightness. And
that's a Fender neck, too.
Yes, it is. Now, I've tried all kinds of different... Fender Stratocasters and clones and Squires and American-made, Mexican-made, Korean, Japanese, everything, prototyped everything. And this particular one has the magic combination. So the and the body is actually a square bullet body.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's not because I'm a cheapskate or anything, but it's just it happens. Everything is balanced just perfectly. And so what I do is I do quite a few things to modify it to where it started out as a Strat and now it's a Nylocaster. And some of them are secrets and some of them are just obviously you can see that I took out the loaded pickguard and put in a blank one. You know,
you don't fill it in. It still has the slots for the other pickups.
It still has the slots for the pickups in there, or if you want to store your weed in there, or whatever you want to do. Just, you know, the next
functionality.
Yes, multitasking. Exactly.
Multitasking.
Exactly. Just four screws, and you have access to your weed, so it's perfect. If only I could smoke that stuff.
Explain that to customs.
Yeah.
I love that you're thinking ahead like that, Ben. You're just genius.
Now, we were talking a little bit before the show with about this guitar. How did you deal with the compensating the bridge, getting the harmonics right? Because you said you this is pretty accurate. It sounds pretty
consistent.
It's very
accurate.
So you did some tricks with the in the bridge.
Well, the bridge, I don't actually build these bridges, but I found the guy to build them for me. And so they're my proprietary bridges. They've got Nylocaster engraved right on them. And what it is it's a gang-style bridge, but the intonation, we have two big intonation screws on both sides, mm-hmm. here and here. The intonation has been pre-machined into the saddles using Fender mm-hmm. averages. Mm-hmm. So as long as I put it in the right spot in the bridge, it's already intonated. And so it's just perfect for...
So, like, if you adjust the
yeah,
absolutely in perfect tune.
That's him at the 12th fret. So yeah, you hear.
If you so in other words, if you with those two screws, if you get like the E string right, the rest of them all are correct.
Should be.
Yeah.
If you get the two E strings right, there because it's a gang style. It also has adjustable action pulls like any Strat should. So basically, I love my Ortega signature guitars, but I found a lot of things still about acoustic guitars that just weren't adopting modern technology. And I was getting sick of the uneven string balance between for the last 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some strings are louder than others. Some aren't as loud. So then you have to take the saddle out, and then you have to do work underneath the saddle so it contacts the pickup ribbon properly, and it was just a nightmare always. So there's that. With these, I personally check each one of them to make sure that every string is exactly the same volume, and they all are. I mean, it's perfect. Now I can adjust intonation. Can't do that on Spanish guitars.
Yeah.
I can also adjust action right on the fly. You can't do that on Spanish guitars either, which is something that you could adjust it, but you have to take the saddle out and you have to file it down and put it back in, and that's a pain in the ass too.
Well, the other
we've all done this for what 20, 30 years, and it's a pain in the ass. So this way, it's we're using the modern technology of the electric guitar to beat all the problems that the Spanish guitars have.
And also too, much to the chagrin of all my friends that are hardcore classicists, you have one with a tremolo.
I sure do.
I got to show that. You have to pull this one out.
Okay, let's play that one.
While he does that, I'm going to get real for just a moment. One of the things that freaked me out a little bit about these guitars was that there was no preamp. But after sitting,
it's totally passive.
Yeah, but sitting with your whoever you're going to use, and sitting particularly with the HX Stomp, we're able to dial in something that was really, really pretty workable. And it was like, wow,
it's got the
that sounds really cool. So
this is great. I love
it. So this is the upgrade model. It's basically the exact same thing, except for we have a maple neck 70s style headstock, and then this one has a tremolo bridge. So other than that, this one has a slightly thinner. This nut width is standard Fender nut width, whereas this, my hardtail version, has got, it's 42 millimeters. So this it's got 2 millimeters of extra width for the
this is 11/16th, and that's 9/16th. Is that something? That's like I think that's the difference, right?
All I know is 40 or 42. Okay. So it could be that
he's a millimeter guy.
Come
on, get with it, man. He's been in Europe for so long.
This is getting really personal.
But I mean, I'm playing a Strat here, and still, you know.
You won me there.
That's great. From Santo and John.
Now, these are available on your website. You can order them from your website or any place else that you can get these.
Right now, there's no other place that you can get them.
Only there.
It's just my website.
And that's Spanish Guitar, www.SpanishGuitarPlayer.com.
Let's make it simpler. Let's just call it NiloCaster.com.
There is a NiloCaster.
Of course there is.
All right. I didn't find
that. But that's also my website. At my personal website, I have a NiloCaster page.
Oh, okay.
I've got an Ortega signature guitar page.
Yeah, either one, you'll see a thing for the NiloCaster.
You'll definitely
and then these guys too. And then again, www.ortegaguitars.com. And real quick, where are you going to be playing? What's going on with you starting the first of the year? You're going to be what's your next gig so people can go see you?
Oh, okay. Well, the local gigs I have, I don't have too many now. When I'm at home and I'm not around, I am doing every Friday at the Hyatt in Huntington Beach. So if I'm here in LA, I'll be there on Fridays from 6 to 9. And then, of course, we've got this great NAMM show coming up, which I can't wait to see all you lovely people there. But right afterwards, on that Sunday, I believe is the 19th, I'll be playing at the Coffee Gallery in Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
look at you go.
I'm stealing your fire, man. Yeah. Come on now. And then shortly after that, I'll be heading out on tour through a little bit of the Southwest and Mexico with the guys from Fele Income, which is a great guitar and cajon duo from Mexico.
Very cool. Any new music coming out?
Actually, yes. I'm really excited about this new Flametal album I have coming out. The album is called Robots from Outer Spain. And it's going to be...
Such a good name, man.
I'm playing the NiloCasters throughout. Mm-hmm. And when you do hear electric guitar, speed metal, distorted guitar, that's also NiloCasters.
Oh, very cool.
Just put through
distortion.
A heavy metal amp. Exactly. So, because they can, these things can handle any type of effects you throw at them, which is, because it's a Stratocaster.
Well, we're just going to have you come back and go through that album. And we're going to have another show and talk about
hopefully that'll be out in February, but it's basically me and a couple of the world's best speed metal drummers just going crazy.
Oh, very cool.
Which is starting the conversation now. What amp do you use in your nylon string? Are you more of a Friedman guy, more of a Soldano guy, or more of a high gain guy? And that conversation has never happened before.
We're gonna have to.
Well, if you ask me that, are you a this guy or are you that? I would just say yes.
Now, real quick, you guys, what's going on with you? New music, new what tour?
We've set up a very busy tour for this year. It's already coming together. We had Summon of the Muse come out earlier this year, and we're going to be touring behind that. But we have a bunch of new videos coming out. Lise and I are also going to be doing our Thrive and Survive program, debuting that sometime this winter, and are working very hard on that. And we just finished some music
and,
for our
and
friend.
Check out their site on Facebook because they've been showing some stuff. You've been doing some library stuff, mm-hmm. and I saw you with some bizarre little
instruments. Playing charango and the bass.
We just finished two different library CDs, one for Sonaton, a kind of a modern rock CD that just came out a few months ago, and then we just finished Sizzling Guitars for Ear Parade. which is all Spanish guitar.
For our good friend Lindsay Tomasik, who we love. And,
very cool.
Andrew's a great guitarist and producer in her own right.
And, okay.
And that's what I was playing the charango for.
There you go.
That was fun.
That was cool. Yeah. So check that video out. It's very cool. And he was, you just posted, you were doing a guitar part too.
Yeah.
Grab your guitar. Thank you again for coming down. It's just great to see you. And let's plan on spring to have you come back and we'll go through that album. Take a close look at that album.
I would absolutely love to.
Write down what you use because you know I'm going to ask you. And JP, you know we're going to just grill you here.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he's such a great
player. It is the Inquisition.
It's a pleasure to hang out with him, man. Play us out and give us a vibe because you're just amazing.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Nah.